Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This teaching was recorded at the 2012 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
God Almighty became a human being. That's incomprehensible. The Scripture says that He holds the universe in the palm of His hand, that He can span the heavens with His hands. That means that the entire universe from one end to the other is no bigger than the width of His hand. That's big. And yet, Almighty God, who is so big, entered into a physical body and limited Himself to a physical body. You know, I'm not trying to diminish the cross and what Jesus suffered at all. That was huge. But it wasn't only on the cross that Jesus suffered. For God Almighty, who is infinite and the heavens of the heavens couldn't even contain Him, to put Himself in a physical body and be contained to a physical body to where if He wanted to go somewhere, He had to walk or ride something. He could go to the other end of the universe, and yet now He's confined to a body that's limited to this earth. Jesus humbled Himself, limited Himself, suffered the entire time that He was in His physical body, not just on the cross. And He did all of that because He loved us. And yet this is the nature of God. God is a humble God. And it says that He doesn't, that God's kind of love envieth not. You know, I looked up, here's the definition of what envy means. According to the dictionary, it means discontented desire or resentment aroused by another's possessions, achievements, or advantages. Now think about this. Man, there is nothing that the Lord envied that we had. None of our possessions, none of our achievements, or advantages. There's nothing in us that God desired. He didn't come because He had to have us and what we possessed. He was envious and wanted all of these things. We didn't have a thing to offer God except our mess. There are some people that would take offense at what I'm saying because you think, well, you don't know who I am. I was really a great person and I'm a feather in the hat of God. God is lucky to have me on His side. There's a lot of people that think that way, but your thinking is wrong. I can guarantee you God loved us just because He is love, not because we deserved it. Over in the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, it talks about how God found us. He was talking to the nation of Israel, and He said that you were polluted in your blood in the day that you were born. You were like a baby that was born and thrown into the dirt, and you had dirt caked up upon you with all of the birth fluids. Your navel wasn't cut. You were polluted in your own blood. You were a despicable, ugly thing, and I chose you, and I made you My own and adopted you to Myself. Some of you have a higher opinion of yourself than that, but the truth is that, you know what, without God, there wasn't one of us in here that was worth redeeming. It's not because you were a jewel in His crown. God just chose to love you. And that's what this is saying. God's kind of love envies not. If you were talking about a person, a true person who's operating in God's kind of love will not sit there and be nice to a person because of what it advantages them. It's not because you're after their possession, after their recognition, their advantage, whatever it could advantage you. That is a selfish motivation. God, His kind of love just loves people and it doesn't desire something from them. You don't love in order to get. Man, I could spend weeks trying to amplify on this because, again, most Christians today really do not have a good revelation of God's kind of love. And they think that God does give with strings attached. God says, I will heal you if you will go to church, if you'll pay your tithes, if you'll do this. I bet you that there's probably nearly every person in here at one time or another has been in a crisis situation and you have prayed and said, God, if you'll get me out of this, I promise you I'll go to church. I'll pay my tithes. I'm going to start doing this. I'll live right. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit. I won't dip or cuss or chew or go with those that do. Praise God, I am going to serve you. You know what that is? You think that God only ministers to you when it advantages Him, when He can get something in return. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. And that's what we've been taught. This is what religion teaches. That in order for you to get a prayer answered, you got to start reading your Bible. You got to pray. You got to do this, this, and this. And when you do so much holiness, then God responds to you. What that's saying is that love is envious. It does seek an advantage. It does desire the things that it can gain from you. But God's kind of love is not that way. God loves us completely independent of any worth in our part. If you could get hold of this, this would revolutionize your life. You know, I said earlier, right after Charlie and Jill got through singing, that once you understand that Jesus died for you, that ought to end the whole discussion right there. If we got a revelation of that, but we've got religion over here that says, oh yeah, He died for you, but if you don't go to church, if you don't pay your tithes, if you don't live holy, if you don't do this, if you get mad without a cause, God won't answer your prayer. God will let you die. God will cause your business to fail. He'll make your children to be born with some kind of a birth defect. He will do this. And religion has said those things, which just undoes the love that was manifest in the cross. And then here's another doctrine that comes along. They say, oh yeah, your sins were forgiven up until the point that you made Jesus your Lord. But now, every time you sin, you got to go back to the Lord and get that sin confessed and under the blood. And if you don't, then God, there's two different manifestations. Some will say God will completely forsake you. You could have been born again for 30 years, and yet if you don't live holy and if you die with an unconfessed sin in your life, you'll go to hell. And that's the harsh interpretation. A lesser interpretation is that, oh, you won't go to hell. You'll still be saved, but God won't fellowship with you, and God won't answer your prayer, and God won't use you. It's the same thing. It's just a lesser consequence. And this is what religion has taught us. And you know what that does? That means that God's love is envious. It is seeking an advantage. You've got to do something. In other words, God will love you if you'll love Him. If you'll do what He told you to do, then God will do what He said He'll do. And that is not what God's kind of love is. Look over here in Romans chapter 8 at some verses. It says all of this, and it's amazing how this is just so prevalent in the Word of God, and yet our religious traditions make us miss these things. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If you stop and thought about that, let me ask you this. How much were you seeking God, fasting and praying, going to church, paying your tithes, living holy and doing everything right before you got born again? Most of us were living a sorry life, and God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He commended His love towards you when you weren't seeking Him. You received the greatest miracle that will ever be, which is being born again. And you received that when you hadn't done anything. You weren't worthy. You hadn't been fasting and praying. You couldn't say, God, I've done all of these things. Now save me because I believe for it. Man, you had to come and sing just as I am without one plea. And if God loved you so much to extend His love to you in a situation like that, it says, how much more now will He freely give us all of these things? Amen. Oh, I'm back. No wonder I couldn't find that. I was over in 1 Corinthians 13. So it says over here, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Notice it says freely. In other words, it's not a barter system. You live holy over here and God will do something for you. You know what I'm saying is profound. But there are people sitting right here thinking, now, wait a minute, I can think about this. It says, you know, you've got to do this and this and this. I could get plumb off the subject and go to teaching about the difference between the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant did say, you have to do these things and then I'll respond. But in the New Covenant, Jesus has already done it. In the Old Covenant, Jesus hadn't healed anybody yet. And so the only way you could get healed, in a sense, was on credit. You do certain things and then God responds and on credit gives you healing. But in the New Testament, you don't do something to get healed. By His stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. You don't do anything to get God to heal you. God has already healed you, is what the Scripture says. You don't do things to get God to forgive you. Man, I'm countering so much stuff here. I hope you're sticking with me through this. But the Scripture, you know, tradition, religion says you have to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart. That's not scriptural. Thank you for that one. Come on, Pastor Bobby. Some of you are thinking, now, wait a minute, you do too have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. That's not what the Bible says. You don't have to ask Him to forgive your sins. You don't have to confess your sins to get God to forgive you. If you believe that, what would happen if you forgot one? Does that mean it's not covered? That would put the burden of salvation on your memory. Are you willing to make your eternal salvation dependent upon whether you remember every sin that you've committed? Man, praise God that isn't so. The Scripture doesn't tell you to confess your sins and ask God to forgive you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 does say you can. Man, how do I answer all of this stuff? There is just so much religion to counter.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the unconditional love of God. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at the 2012 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for the series titled, As I Have Loved You, when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RG25 titled, God is Kind to You, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
I'd like to invite you to come to one of our Gospel Truth seminars. You know, there's people that listen to me on the radio or television every day, and they think, well, I already know what you're going to say. What's the point in going to one of these meetings? But for one thing, you just get the Word at a different level when it's not broken into little 15-minute segments. It makes a huge difference in the way that the Word impacts you. Plus, we have anywhere from 30 to 40 or 50 of our Bible college students, prayer ministers there, that minister to people. You get prayer and personal ministry, and it is just a dynamic atmosphere. Charlie and Jill LeBlanc do the praise and worship, and you'd be blessed. So make plans to join me at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.